The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "This is my commandment. Love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have told you everything that I've heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you, love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Jesus says to his apostles at the Last Supper, "Love one another as I have loved you." It's the greatest commandment that he ever gave. In fact, it's the only time Jesus ever told us anything, prefixing it with the words, "This is my commandment to you." Now, there's so much that could be said about those words. I could give you a homily about what it means to love another person. There's an entire homily just in that. I could give you a homily about what it means to love somebody else in the way that God loves us. There's an entire homily right there. But what I want to focus on this morning is the idea that God even loves you at all. Let's talk about that for just a moment, because people have a hard time with it. The idea that God even loves you at all. I mean, we know in our heads that God loves us. Yes? Yes. You look at a crucifix. You know what that means. That Jesus took all of your sins onto himself as though they were his own. And you know that's what love's all about. You look at the Eucharist. And you know what that means. He wants to be so close to you, he wants to become your very food and the very source of your life. You know what it means intellectually, right? But you still have a very hard time believing that God really loves you. Now, you have no trouble with God loving somebody else, right? No trouble at all. It's hard to believe that God loves me. Best I can figure, there's three reasons why we struggle with that, right? Three reasons why. Here's the first. First is a deep awareness of our own unworthiness. How can God possibly love me when I've given him so many reasons not to love me? I swore that I was never going to commit this particular sin ever again, and I went and did it again. And I promised that I would be generous and thoughtful and sacrificial, only to turn around and be shallow and selfish once again. I've tried. I failed. Here's the question. What's in me to love? Really hard to believe God loves you. Here's the second reason. The second reason, I think, is from the experience of our own dryness. You know, you say to yourself, "I don't know what love's supposed to feel like, but I was hoping that it would feel like at least something. I mean, look at me. I'm busy about the things of religion. I'm even in church on a Friday morning. I pray, I go to confession, I receive the sacraments. Inside, I feel dry as the Sahara. And I'm not so sure God loves me." Here's the third reason. It's from our own suffering. And it's so, so easy to think this. You say, "If God loves me, then why? Why was my loved one allowed to suffer and die? Why was I allowed to be hurt or abused? Why would God allow this suffering if he loves me?" I can give you lots of great reasons why God allows suffering. It's just that logic has very little power to make pain feel like love. So it's a tough question. It's a tough question to believe this. And how do we respond to that? Well, here's how we respond to it. Here's how we respond to that. First thing you realize is that God doesn't love you because you're good. God loves you because He's good. It's just the way He is. Just like the sun shines, God loves. You can't earn it, and you can't lose it. He also realized that love is not a feeling. Even with God, it's not a feeling. It is a decision. And what we have to do is we have to choose to believe it. And it starts at the level of your thoughts, because so many important things ride on that choice. Here's the first. Choosing to believe God loves you protects you from falling into despair. Don't let yourself think any of these pity party thoughts in the privacy of your own mind. Those thoughts act like a vortex. Once you give into them, it becomes harder and harder to get out of them. Don't even let them get a foothold. No pity party thoughts. Protect yourself from despair. Second consequence is it protects you from turning against other people. Now, in our own time, don't we all turn against different groups? Don't we camp up? Of course, putting ourselves in the camp of the good guys, turning against the bad guys, and demonizing those other people for all the problems of the world. You know, if you remember that God loves you, you know what else you're going to remember? You're going to remember that God loves somebody else too. It's awfully hard to turn against somebody when you remember that God loves them as much as God loves you. And here's the third thing that happens when you keep this in mind. It guards you against becoming a hardened cynic. Granted, it's a broken world, but it is a very, very good world. And no matter how bad things get, I want you to know this and understand it. God will not give up on this world because you do not give up on someone that you love. St. Catherine of Siena once told us that your ability to love somebody else is rooted in your ability to know first that you yourself are loved. That's why we choose to believe. Now make it a daily discipline. Choose to believe in God's love for you. And in as much as we strive to live it, let's first strive to believe it. Amen.